We have four short scripture readings this morning, one from each chapter of the book of Ruth. We're going to start with Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem, and when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" And we turn then next to Ruth chapter 2, where in verses 19 to 20 we read, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she'd worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked is today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." We'll go on then next to verses 16 to 17 of chapter 3 when Ruth returned from her nighttime excursion. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And then our last reading is from chapter 4, again, verses 16 to 17. That's after the birth of Obed. "Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." And so far the reading. Now the theme of this morning sermon is the whisper of God's love. Earlier in August and in September, we looked at the book of Ruth. We saw how the story behind the story is the story of how God was working not just in the life of one family, but in the life of his people as a whole. We saw how the Lord's steadfast love was demonstrated by Ruth, who cared for a widowed mother-in-law. We saw the same love demonstrated by Boaz, who cared for 2 widows. But we only touched on Naomi's story in part. So today we're going to look at how the Lord's steadfast love to Naomi is demonstrated through his providence and through his care. And as we look at the story, we're going to see that the chapter behind the story, or the story behind the story, unfolds in each of the chapters. In chapter 1, we see God's love in the provision of Ruth. In chapter 2, we see his love in the many so-called coincidences. In chapter 3, God's love is evident in the start of this process of redemption. And then in the last chapter, we see it in the start of the line of kings from which the true Redeemer would come, the true King would come. Chapter 1, the provision of Ruth. And the story begins in what for the Israelites would have been a very ominous way. At the very beginning of the book, we read that there was a severe famine in the land. In fact, so severe that Naomi and her husband and their 2 sons leave the town of Bethlehem and they go to Moab. And if you're an Israelite, it's always a bad beginning to a story for someone to travel out of the promised land, and especially to Moab. And sure enough, by the time we reach verse 3 of chapter 1, we see that this wasn't going to be a happy story, for Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. Then in the next couple of verses, things brighten up a bit when Naomi's 2 sons marry. But even that joy is tinged with disappointment when her 2 Moabite daughters-in-law remain barren. And the clouds of trial and suffering just seem to keep rolling in when we read that the two sons of Naomi also die in Moab. To lose her husband is sad enough, but to lose her 2 sons as well was unbelievably tragic. You know, to lose a child is one of the most traumatic events that we can experience as human beings. And here Naomi doesn't just lose her husband, but also, as she says, her two boys. Elsewhere in the Bible, when the word boys is used, it's most often used to describe very young children. But here it is used of two grown-up sons, and perhaps it's just a way to describe the extent of that trauma of losing her two young ones, her two boys, even though they were older at the time. And faced with these tragic circumstances, Naomi comes to what many would see as the logical conclusion. The Lord is against me. The Lord is against me. We see that a couple of times in chapter 1, but especially in verses 19 to 21. And just picture it. Naomi returns to Bethlehem after more than 10 years. Her husband has died, so have her two sons. And the women of the town seem overjoyed to welcome her back. But in the midst of this hubbub and this excitement, Naomi's voice of rebuke cuts across that joy as she says to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which in Hebrew means pleasant. "Call me Mara," Hebrew for bitter. "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me pleasant when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity against me?" To Naomi, the pain and the presence of the calamity that is her life is evidence that the Almighty God is against her. It's like the Lord is in the witness stand pointing the finger of accusation at her. It's like the Lord is using her for target practice, in a sense, piercing her heart with shot after shot, and she's in agony. And brothers and sisters, we might not blame Naomi either. For some of us have felt that way in the past. Perhaps some of us might even be feeling that way this morning. But this isn't the story of the book of Ruth. The story of the book of Ruth is not the story of a God who is against us, a God who is piercing our hearts with arrows of anger. No, when we look at the book as a whole, we see that it tells a very different story. It's the story of a God of abounding and steadfast love. It's the story of how God, even in the midst of troubled times, cares for and provides for his people. Even here in the first chapter, there's a whisper from God about how he cares for Naomi. And that whisper grows louder and louder in every chapter until it is no longer a whisper, but a loud shout. In chapter 1, the whisper of God's love and goodness comes in the form of a young Moabite girl, Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth. Even here in the beginning of the book, even here in the midst of her loss, even here in the midst of the pain, even when all seems lost, even when she feels empty, the Lord has provided for her. He has provided Ruth. When Naomi wanted to leave her daughters-in-law behind in Moab, the Lord worked in the heart of this young Moabite woman. He called her to himself, and she responded. He called her, and she accepted the covenant God of Israel as her own. And she clung to Naomi. And this word that's used here, clung, has the same deep meaning of a husband and a wife clinging together. You see, God wasn't just providing Naomi with a companion. He was also providing a carer, a comforter. In the midst of her pain, with all the heartache, with all the dark clouds surrounding her, Naomi just doesn't see this. But friends, in his providential care, God placed Ruth in Naomi's life. He worked in Ruth's heart to bring that plan to fruition. Yes, all of this happened in the background, but nevertheless, this was God at work in Naomi's life. And here at the beginning of the book, it's still very much just a whisper. It's just something that's in the background. It's a whisper of God's goodness, a whisper of God's love, but it's there. The whisper is there that says, "Naomi, you just wait. Just you wait and see what the God of steadfast love has in store." Friends, I wonder when we go through life's difficult times, whether we also tend to not see the good things with which the Lord has blessed us. When we face with a major crisis, when we feel down and out, it can feel if God has turned against us. It can feel as if God is punishing us, as if he has it in for us, as if he no longer loves us. We can focus so much on the dark clouds that surround us that we do not see the sun behind the clouds at all. But no matter how dark those clouds might be, the sun is shining behind them, waiting to burst through those clouds and shine its warming light into our lives. Our parents may disappoint us. Perhaps our children may be drawn into drugs or refuse to know what we know God's word is teaching. But often this is how God works to bring his perfect plan to fruition, his perfect plan for our lives. Sometimes we do need to be drawn back to the Lord through trials. Sometimes our faith does need to be tested. And yes, sometimes we also need to be shocked back into reality, back to the realization of what things, what living is about, what true living is about. But when that happens, remember that God is working in the background. There can be no doubt about that, because he's not a God who sets things ticking and then ups and leaves and just forgets about it. He does have a plan. He does work that plan as well, even if you or I do not see it at that moment. Friends, God is working in the background. He's weaving his majestic tapestry. And although we may only see a very small portion of it, we can be assured that it is good. It is good, for he is good, always. And we can also be sure that the part that we are to play in his plan will be exactly as he plans it, as he wants it. Perhaps God is working in your life at the moment through someone that he's placed on your path. Someone who, to all outward appearances maybe, might look out of place. Perhaps it's someone at work who's always confronting you about your faith. Perhaps it's someone in your family who is an unbeliever. Or perhaps you're facing a difficult time, a difficult issue in your life at the moment, and it's really clouding your vision, your judgment. It's not allowing you to see the bigger picture. Beloved in Christ, even in these difficult times, we can trust that God knows what he's doing. After all, he's the one who created us. He's all-knowing. And he loves us. He's proven that. He's proven that by sending his son to die for you, for me. And he's proven it by raising him up so that we can be justified. Trust him. Trust him even though there's just a whisper of his love and care in your life, or there's just a whisper that you can see at this stage. Trust him, because those whispers are just a small reflection of his love, of his care. For in Jesus you are a co-heir. You have that glorious and secure hope of eternal life, of salvation, of eternal life in his company. Trust him. Trust him, even when things are going a bit pear-shaped in your life. The whisper of God's steadfast love becomes more evident in the second chapter. You may recall from a sermon a couple of weeks ago that Ruth wants to help provide for the family. She wants to go out into the harvest field and glean after the harvesters, in other words, to pick up the pieces of barley left over in the field, as the law allowed. But it isn't just any old field she ends up going to, and it isn't just going to be any old gleaning. For lo and behold, she just happens to work in the field of Boaz. Boaz just happens to come to his field. He just happens to see Ruth. And what's more, he just happens to be a kinsman redeemer. Now friends, that's a whole lot of just happening that's just happening here. Even the biggest believer in coincidences would have to say there's something more going on here. You see, this isn't just a coincidence. This is the Lord working in the background, producing these coincidences. In his providence, in his plan, these events had long before been planned. God is directing the plot of the story, so to speak. In a sense, he's doing the groundwork for bringing newness into the life of the tired and the embittered Naomi. But the story doesn't end there. When Ruth gets home that evening, she's carrying a huge amount of barley, enough for a number of weeks. She's also brought home some leftover food from the lunch that Boaz had provided. I think we can safely say that mother-in-law Naomi is both surprised and overjoyed. Listen to verse 20 again. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." In the name of the Lord, she blesses the man who has looked on with favor on Ruth. And she's stoked to hear that their benefactor is Boaz, a kinsman redeemer. Perhaps Naomi is starting to see the goodness and the steadfast love of God developing for her. She's starting to see, grab a glimpse of that. The whisper of God's love is getting louder. Naomi, you just wait. Just you wait and see what the God of steadfast love has in store. Just you wait. For you ain't seen nothing yet. And in the third chapter, that whisper becomes even louder. You see, when Naomi decided to leave Moab, she wanted to leave her daughters-in-law behind, as she felt she wouldn't be able to provide for them. She talked about not being able to provide other husbands for them. But now she wants to help provide Ruth with her husband. Now I'm pretty sure she didn't get around to getting the book on the principles of courting or dating from Kurong's Bethlehem store. But Naomi certainly knew what the Lord's law said about the kinsman redeemer. And she entrusts Ruth into the Lord's hands, sending her to date Boaz. Propose to Boaz. And Boaz is delighted that this young, hard-working, godly woman has sought his protection and his hand in marriage. And if we were to leave the story there, we'd most likely say something like, "Oh, sweet." For it is a heartwarming story, isn't it? But the story doesn't end there either. Early in the morning, before anyone can be recognized, Boaz sends Ruth home to Naomi. And again, she's laden with food. Now, please don't make the mistake that this was some sort of a bride price that Boaz was paying. It was a symbol of the care that he would provide. Listen again to verses 16 to 17 of chapter 3. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Folks, do you hear the whisper of God's steadfast love in these verses, the whisper of his provision? Think back a moment to chapter 1 when Naomi arrived back in Bethlehem. Let me remind you what she said. "Call me Mara, bitter, for the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty." But now her emptiness is being taken away. Her emptiness is being filled. And if we look at verse 18, it appears that she recognizes she's in the process of being redeemed. That's why she can say Boaz will not rest, but would settle the matter that same day. She knows that whatever happens at that gate, that morning, there would be redemption. Whether it's Boaz or the other redeemer, there would be redemption. At last, there's hope. At last, their security. And with the advantage of hindsight, we can see that the whisper of God's love was becoming even louder as Naomi saw and realized or recognized God's provisioning hand at work in their lives. And looking back, we know that there was more to come. Just you wait and see, Naomi, how much more the Lord of steadfast love has in store for you. Just you wait and see. If we go into chapter 4, we see that the first 13 verses don't really focus on Naomi. They're about the negotiations at the gate, the marriage of Boaz and Ruth, and the birth of their child. But then the narrator turns the spotlight back onto Naomi. Listen to how the women of Bethlehem describe the boy child as being born. Not to Ruth, but to Naomi. And what is then said about him? Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi and the people of Bethlehem recognize that redemption has come for Naomi. The soft whisper makes it its way into their hearts. Just you wait, Naomi. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has in store. For the Israelites who read these verses at the time of David, it was certainly much more than a whisper. For they know that this points to the beginning of the line of kings, the beginning of the royal line. And friends, for us who have the wonderful advantage of being able to look back over time, this passage is certainly much more than a soft or even a loud whisper. It's a deafening one. Together with the Bethlehemites, we can see the Lord's steadfast love at work in the life of Naomi. Together with the Israelites of old, we can look back to see that the Lord's steadfast love worked out in the provision of a king who was a man after his own heart. But more, oh, so much more than that. We can look back 2,000 years and see to whom and to what all this was pointing. We see these events shouting out God's redemptive plan, shouting out God's steadfast love. God's love remained steadfast throughout the time of the judges. It remained steadfast to Naomi. And it's that same steadfast and faithful love which brought our Savior Jesus into our broken world. And it's the same faithful and steadfast love that you and I can count on today. Brothers and sisters, when we are faced with trials, with tribulations, when it seems that everything is going wrong, everything that can go wrong is going wrong in our lives, we can perhaps feel that God has forgotten about us. Perhaps like Naomi, we might even feel that God has his hand stretched out against us. But even in such times, we must remember the message of God's word. For it is a message of comfort and a message of hope. It's a message of comfort, for it's the message of the gospel. It's a message of hope, for it is the message of redemption in Jesus. In his song, Whispering Hope, Septimus Winner wrote, soft as the voice of an angel breathing a lesson unheard, hope with a gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Whispering hope, whispering, whispering hope. Oh, how welcome thy voice that makes my heart rejoice. Beloved, even in the midst of our sorrow, even in the midst of the darkness of our lives, in the midst of the tempest of life, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because in the Lamb of God, the word of God is more than just a whisper. In the coming of the Lion of Judah, it's a roar of God's steadfast and faithful and amazing love. Let's pray. Oh O Lord of steadfast love, we give you glory and we give you honor for your amazing love. Thank you for your steadfast and your faithful love, O Lord. And Father, we pray that when we feel like the Naomi of chapter 1, that we will remember the great love that you've shown us in the past and the great love that you continue to show us in the present. Help us to remember that, O Lord, and help us to keep looking to you in trust and also, Lord, to rejoice in that love, in the knowledge of that love that you've shared with us. In the name of your Son who redeemed us, we pray. Amen.